Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Today's Locked On Cavaliers podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek's the best way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your smartphone. They have a deal score so you know you're getting the best possible deal from all the best ticket dealers out there. And you're going to get tickets to anything you want on SeatGeek. If you want Cavs tickets, you can find them. If you want Indians tickets, you can find them. If you want concert tickets, they're going to be on SeatGeek. I use SeatGeek all the time. It's my favorite way to buy tickets because I know I'm getting a good deal, and I know I can find what I want. I've used it to get Cavs tickets, Migos tickets, Run the Jewels tickets, and there's no doubt in my mind that you'll like SeatGeek too. So today, if you're a first-time user of SeatGeek, you can save $20 on your first purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS, that's LOCAVS, and get $20 back by entering in that promo code under the settings tab. SeatGeek, again, is the best way for you to buy and sell tickets. Download on any smartphone today. Use their website. Just go use it. Go see what you want to see. And use that promo code LOCATH to save $20 on your first purchase.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning from FearTheSword.com. Joining me today, we're live at Quicklands Arena, quote-unquote live. It's a little past midnight on Monday morning. I'm joined by Alex Cooper, the Indians beat reporter who's helping out 92.3 with their Cavs coverage. Alex, what's going on, man?
Just watched one hell of a game.
Yeah, that's a way to put it.
That's all that's happening. We're still trying to digest it.
Yeah, so let's run through this. This was a game the Cavs led by as many as 21 points. An incredible first half from Kyrie and Kevin Love. LeBron has this very quiet first quarter, and it just felt like one of those games where he's just going to coast and they're going to be fine, and Boston doesn't have Isaiah Thomas and all this stuff. And then the third quarter happens, and Boston slowly works their way back in, and Marcus Smart has a career game from three. I think he finished with 7 threes. They end up winning on an Avery Bradley three-pointer where J.R. Smith messed up the coverage. I mean, I don't think this loss impacts the series in a meaningful way. It means they have to play an extra game. It means they have to travel back to Boston. It means Golden State's probably going to have a three-day rest advantage, which, you know, and some game planning advantage, which will certainly help them to a degree. But it was just like a weird game. This felt very much like a regular season March, maybe April Cavs performance.
Yeah, it felt like one of those games where, I mean, at least my end working at a sports radio station where everyone all of a sudden started pressing the panic button for absolutely no reason. I mean, this is a playoff game, and there's some reason to take a step back and be like, whoa, this shouldn't have happened. And it shouldn't have happened. No. I mean, there's no reason for this team to blow a 21-point lead really against anyone. I mean, even against a team like the Warriors, you shouldn't blow that lead because you have the talent to not do so. But I think a lot of people had the feeling like they were going to come into one of these games, especially with Isaiah Thomas out for the rest of the series, and kind of try to coast. And it felt like one of those games. I mean, even the way they started tonight, it didn't feel like they were getting out to that lead because of effort. They got out to that lead because Kevin Love was unconscious.
Yeah.
Because Kyrie was, I mean, not necessarily unconscious, but he was Kyrie.
Yeah, he was like back to being his normal Kyrie. And for the most part of the game, he was. He had that swooping bucket late that gave them that little lead or tie the game. I don't remember which. That was a very Kyrie thing. LeBron was bad. Like, LeBron was just, like, not, like, you know, like, flat out just, like, useless because he did, like, some stuff, right? But this is, like, a bad LeBron performance. He's been incredible throughout the playoffs so far. If you've watched a single moment of a Cavs game, you've known he's been just the most impactful player. He's coming off that Boston game where he had that three, within 3 seconds, runs from the other side of the court, swats every Bradley shot away. One of the things that was very telling to me is that he almost did that again tonight. And instead of getting the clean block, he kind of got it. And Jay Crowder ends up getting it and scoring. Like, it wasn't like this cleanup play for him. It was just like a kind of thing. If the Cavs even just get a slightly better LeBron, like one that hits 3 more shots instead of going 4 of 13 and is just like normal LeBron, they probably win this game. And we're not here talking about them having to go back to Boston and them having lost to a team that doesn't have their best player.
And that's exactly what I just wrote about, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
In that same sense, I wrote about it from the Marcus Smart point of view, where if he even just shoots 500 from three tonight, which is almost double his career average, then the Celtics are still losing by three.
Right.
It was just one of those games. But getting to the point about LeBron, I mean, yeah, I can't remember a game where I've been like, whoa, he just looks bad. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember the last time that happened. I've seen games where I've been like, LeBron's not LeBron.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes. Tonight, he was just, it's tough to say LeBron James was ever bad.
Yeah.
You look at his numbers, 11-6-6, 4 of 13 from the field. For most people, that's just an off night. For LeBron, that's a bad night. But not even going off the stats, he looked bad. He looked off.
He looked disengaged.
Right.
I mean, this felt like a Cavs. Like, the Cavs are openly anti-regular season, right? Like, LeBron had the quote after the game 2 win where he talked about how excited they were to be in the playoffs, and he was like joking about like what regular season. You had Richard Jefferson on the road trip and pod talking about how he just was tanking until the playoffs and tanking until the finals and just not trying that hard. This felt like that. And then with LeBron, like, you're right, he was just like, he probably had games like this in March. I'm just assuming he did because that was just the worst stretch of this Cavs season. But, like, you're right. Like, I can't think of a time where I watched LeBron just not make an impact in a game like this. And it's because the last 12 games of this playoff run, the sweep of Toronto, the sweep of Indiana, he was the reason the Cavs are winning these games. Kyrie's had good games, good stretches. He has not had a Kyrie Irving dominant game like he had in the finals last year. LeBron James won them that one Indiana game. He was just unguardable against Toronto. And in game two against the Celtics, he was unguardable too. And it's been game after game like that.
And I think a lot of people, when they want to find out, you know, why the Cavaliers lost this game, they're immediately going to jump to, well, LeBron was... I don't feel like fans should have to be upset that LeBron wasn't LeBron in a game. And I'm kind of just going down the narrative road here because that's just so much what I'm used
well,
to.
It's almost just also like right now in the context of this game, I don't know how much of this game you actually can like apply to something
exactly.
else. Like, I can't imagine the Cavs. It's possible, I guess, but I was talking to Carter Rodriguez about this like after the game when we were between press or talking on G-Chat. I cannot imagine the Cavs like play like this in a finals game, right? Like, with like so little concern, you know? Like, they certainly will have moments of this because that is in their DNA, I think. But I can't imagine they're going to do this against Golden State, a team they've been waiting to play all year.
Yeah, it was, again, it was an eye test thing. I mean, you could just tell that they were not as invested. I mean, you look at those first two games against the Celtics, they looked like they wanted to go out and they wanted to just impose their will for 48 minutes from the get-go. And I think they came in tonight and they expected to win and they expected to flip that switch back off, maybe. I mean, that's obviously a stretch, but just it wasn't the same team that you've seen in closeout games and in this Eastern Conference Finals where they're just like, we're going to go out, we're going to give you everything, and they were relying on the three-pointer from the get-go, which they can do when they hit them, but once you get into that second half and they're not falling and then you just haven't had any cohesion in any other aspect of the game, it's not something you can get going again.
Yeah.
Again, still they only lost by 3.
Yeah.
Which that's a testament to a number of things, but we're in the negativity sector right now and just when you don't bring it at the beginning and when you have that expectation at the beginning, when it comes time, if it comes time to where you need that energy back, you're not going to be able to have it, and it's just what happened tonight. I've watched so much baseball this season after taking kind of a large step back from baseball from my early years, to where I look at so many games that I cover and I'm like, well, that's just baseball, yeah. And then I just move on to the next one. That's what this is. I'm just like, well, Marcus Smart shot 70% from three despite being the worst three-point shooter in NBA history. Right. All right, let's move on to game four.
Yeah, like, he's good for, like, these random games of this, but it's going to happen, you know, but, like, it's not something you would have banked on. You would have guessed. I never would have guessed it if, like, if you would have told me coming into this series that Isaiah Thomas is going to get hurt and re-aggravate that hip injury that's going to keep him out of the rest of the playoffs. The game after that would have been Boston's best offensive performance. Like, they went to Tyler Zeller early. Like, they went back to that, like, big starting lineup that the Cavs thrashed, and they did so again. What really, like, went and worked for them, Jarepko comes off the bench. You know, it was very annoying. It was seemingly picking a fight with everybody on the Cavs, which is kind of funny. And, you know, they go this way, and Avery Bradley hits that three at the end of the game. Jay Crowder has, like, a good three-point shooting game. Al Horford, I kind of feel good for Al Horford just because this is his first ever playoff win against LeBron. He comes in 0-14 against LeBron. Like, he finally, like, it's not going to matter, you know? But, like, Al Horford doesn't have to, you know, like, have that goose egg anymore. Now Jeff Teague has that goose egg.
Now it's on his shoulders.
Yeah, Teague and I think Millsap would be in the same boat.
Horford, too, again, was largely unimpressive.
Yeah, and he hit a three late, and he scored on Tristan, which was like he came a big late, but it wasn't like he had this classic Al Horford performance.
Right, and you know another guy who stood out to me tonight, and get your pitchforks ready, but Kelly Olynyk, man,
amazing how like even it's been 2 years, but it's like amazing how the Q crowd and just the general you can sense the Cavs don't like him, but like the general just like hatred of Kelly Olynyk is just like. It's palpable. Like, I don't think Cavs fans like the Celtics at all. Like, there's just no love there. But like, it's like it to another degree with Kelly Olynyk.
They talk in Beer Fest about what you learn something when you're drunk,
right?
And then you get drunk again, and then you remember it. Yeah. It's like that with the playoffs for Cavs fans. Like, no one really cares about Kelly Olynyk, and then when he's back, holy, it's Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah,
just burn it down.
It's the worst.
Get this guy.
Yeah.
He was so good in pick and roll defense tonight.
Yeah, you tweeted about this, and this is interesting because he's normally this very awkward, gawky guy. And like I think Matt Moore, when we tweeted this, like he's good like 15% of the time, and this was like the 15%. Like he was really good. He was very fluid. He was containing stuff. And when the Cavs, I think they've maybe been used to just like hitting that open wall and just like blowing past him and taking advantage of him and like attacking him, and that didn't work tonight.
I mean, what, game one, game two? LeBron gets switched on, or I should say Olynyk gets switched on to LeBron, and LeBron's got his back turned going between the legs, and tonight he was like more than a formidable defender. It seemed like any time on the pick and roll Olynyk was in the paint, he stuck with whoever was coming down the lane, and that just baffled him. And I think that was, I mean, I don't have the tape, I don't remember, I didn't, you know, chart his shots, but I would say a good chunk of those 9 misses tonight were kind of that pick and roll into Olynyk. I think a lot of those misses, it seemed like they were going right at him, and then the rest were just, you know, 23 missed threes.
Right. Boston's also this team of tryhards. Like, I don't mean that as like a negative thing. Like, they just play really hard, and like that's something they talk about in their post. And Bradley and Marcus Smart's post compressor, they talked about how like this is like us. Where all these guys, their narrative of their team for them is they're guys that have been counted out. Like, they're these guys that have been written off at one point or another, and for them it was like this is just like part of their DNA to come back. And I can like understand, and that's kind of the mindset you have to take. Was there anything for the Cavs perspective we talked about? I mean, Love was great. Faded. I mean, he was bad. He was kind of bad late. Kyrie, Tristan. Was there anyone on this team for you that stood out as having like a particularly useful game? I think it was Tristan. To me, Tristan's like 12 of 15 from the line. Like, you wasted a 12 of 15 Tristan Thompson line performance. Like he's never going to do that. Probably. Like, I mean, he's the best three. This might be the best free throw shooting game of his life, just because like it was not even just that he only missed three, but he was like out of 15. Like, that's a pretty large number for him.
Yeah, it was a large sample size, which, I mean, even if you just look at the 15 attempts, the way he was able to get to the line consistently, I mean, he dominates on the offensive boards against the Celtics.
7 offensive rebounds again tonight.
Yeah, it's, what is it, 17% is his offensive rebound percentage against the Celtics? And
it's absurd.
I forget who it was.
Yeah.
Compared it to Dennis Rodman's career offensive, you know, 17.4.
Tristan Thompson, very, very good at getting offensive rebounds.
Yes.
And particularly
surprise
against a team that has, like, yeah, that, like, doesn't have, like, a really good rebounder to kind of anchor their defensive rebounding efforts.
And then he was able to turn it into points because he just went straight back up. Usually, you know, you get those dishes back out and you restart the offense, whatnot. He just went straight back up. He got fouled and he converted on the free throws. That is where you take Tristan Thompson, and my buddy put it best. Tristan Thompson takes his Cavaliers team and takes them from elite to elite plus. And that's what he did tonight, except the rest of the team wasn't elite.
The rest of the team was definitely not elite. I mean, you had even like Korver tonight, a guy who's not going to his impact's going to come in these little specific moments. Like, he wasn't really like setting his feet when he shot. Like, he's normally this guy who's he's got this very consistent shooting pattern. He's going to come around screens, and even when he's just catching the ball, he's just going to plant fire. He was kind of off, like leaning a little bit. It was weird, and he made that one where he stuck it in someone's face, but the other shots, they were just these very quick, un-Korver-like attempts.
I think it was maybe the next possession after the one he did hit. It looked like he glitched. He looked
like
an NBA 2K glitch.
Yeah.
He kind of, I mean, probably traveled in that his right foot drifted right, and then his left foot, he didn't have it set.
Yeah.
And then it was off the ground, and he almost jumped off of one foot, and that was kind of what he looked like all night.
Yeah.
But he's hit those shots, so I don't blame him for taking them. Plus, he's Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
But again, you didn't get that burst from him tonight either.
Yeah, it's hard to like discount a guy's shooting ability when there's literally a t-shirt shop in Cleveland that made a shirt of him with a flame in place of the ball. Like, that's an actual shirt, and he's just incredible.
What isn't a shirt in Cleveland?
Dude, literally the greatest t-shirt economy in the world. Like, you can go online, you can go like on like there's 80 bajillion shops in Cleveland where you can find really good like t-shirts in Cleveland. It's kind of incredible.
I think GV artwork has a higher GDP than most countries.
Dude, yeah, I mean, they're probably like some of these like small like European states with like no exports. Like, yeah, GV's got them, and yeah, definitely. Like, as a whole, they could just have their own like little economic block. If any of them want to sponsor this podcast, drop me an email. You look ahead game to game 4, Tuesday in Cleveland. It's like we'll wrap this up on LeBron here in a second. But like, is there anything the Cavs besides just like play better that they need to do differently? You know, like, is there anything they actually need to do better?
Well, that's kind of the thing is, if you look at tonight, again, going back to Marcus Smart, the thing that pops out to me is you would say defend Marcus Smart, contest his threes. And I asked Kyrie about it in the locker room, and he said, you know, that falls on me. We got to do a better job of making his shots tougher. But the thing is, you don't. Like, let him shoot that. I don't care. If he hits 7 of 10 next game, Game 5 in Boston, I'd still let him shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think you change anything in that. You don't change your whole defensive structure to deal with Marcus Smart's shooting. That's completely counterintuitive. I mean, you look at a lot of things. Tristan Thompson, do exactly what you did.
Yeah.
JR, 13 and 8, 4 of 8 from 3. I would say with the 8 rebounds, you get a bonus there.
Yeah.
Defensively,
obviously. Yeah, I mean, the end of the game, like, him and Schumpert both fouled Smart twice on 3-point attempts, which don't just stay away from Marcus Smart when he's shooting threes. Like, that's just stay away.
That's probably a better idea too. Just instead of increasing your defense, how about just defend him less and see if he gets too wide open?
Yeah. Or if you need to close out on him and that's gonna be part of your strategy, just like keep an eye on like where you're gonna go. Because they committed 2 dumb fouls and they both bit on these pump fakes. Like, not great moments for the two former Knicks.
So don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Just go back to the fundamentals. Don't jump on threes. Don't jump into 3-point shooters.
And assume LeBron James, and assume the best player in the world will play better in the next game.
Yeah.
So he, in this post-game presser, was a little moody.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the locker room. He was not in a great mood there either. It seems like there's maybe something that happened, and he wasn't just in a general good mood. But, like, just aside from that, he was, like, just naturally a little bit, like, uneven in his post-game presser. Like, when he's normally even if he's in a bad mood, he hits these specific tones. He's very particular about hitting these tones where it's the same level. Like, his voice changed, the length of his sentences changed, how fast his voice changed. He had a little barb with Kenny Rota from WKR in Cleveland where he was a little annoyed with Kenny. It was a very hot LeBron press. This had the very weird LeBron vibe to it.
And again, I don't know many instances where I've been like, LeBron really seemed off in that presser. It's the same as LeBron really had a bad game. It doesn't happen. So when you get both of those in the same night, I mean, I don't want to speculate, and I don't have anything to speculate on. I just know when you get both of those at the same time, my thought is, what happened? Like, did something, a bad day with the kids, was it just a rough day like any parent would have, or was there something on a grander scale? Because Lord knows LeBron can have the worst day in so many different ways.
Right. Yeah, he's got so many things going on. Someone actually tweeted at me that and they ended up saying this wasn't true because I didn't see this anywhere from anywhere reputable, that he was having twins or something like that, and then that's he was in a weird mood. But that's just there's a Twitter rumors
about
LeBron. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I saw Savannah come up and hug Amy Schumer. So if there's something. Yeah, I'm not going to start talking about LeBron's kids more than I have to.
So Dave Chappelle's at this game with Amy Schumer. Apparently the Cavs are minus 12 after Chappelle leaves.
I was going to say.
Dave Chappelle should have stayed.
Yeah, Dave left at halftime for some reason, and then Amy came back. Amy was sitting with Dan Gilbert at some point. I was going to tweet about it. I think I watched more of Dave Chappelle and Amy Schumer tonight than I watched of the actual game. So just take everything I said and discount it. Because I wasn't locked in.
So then you have locked in, locked on network. The other thing is Myles Garrett, David Njoku, and Jabril Peppers are all here. When I was downstairs for a minute, and I heard Myles Garrett talking about how people were telling him his pants were too tight. Several people told him that his pants were too tight, which I was like, he's Myles Garrett. Let him be. He's very rich. He's very good at football.
Now.
He's very gay. He's a $34 million contract for Myles Garrett. That was a, I love those moments at these games. I remember when Encarnacion was at his first game, people ate it up, and he was just whatever. Kipnis is here a lot, Brantley's here a lot. But there's this special excitement when several Browns are here, and it was big for Kaiser. It was big for Joe Thomas, did the head of jersey on, and got really excited. It was really big for Stipe Miocic when Stipe was here wearing a too small deli jersey last year. It's been big for Joe Hayden's a regular at these games. It was cool, at least in the context of that, you had this cool Clevelandy moment in the midst of all this.
Right. And Corey Kluber was here tonight as well.
Okay. Yeah,
he was downstairs with the hat on backwards if people want to get mad that he left his house because he has a bad back. But yeah, people go crazy for the Browns. Newsflash to all of Cleveland.
It's kind of crazy how much the Browns are awful, and these guys are all really talented, but they're not going to be these franchise changers tomorrow, right? How excited people get about this.
Yeah, it's always cool to see the Cleveland unity, though. I mean, even when you're in the media and you have to be objective, those moments are still really cool because there's a collective pride here that I don't know exists. I don't know that it doesn't exist, but I don't know that it exists elsewhere as far as this is our city and we love it. So, I mean, anytime, especially, with the sports and just all the teams and when people start filing in, and I mean, how many separate occasions did we have? Hey, guess who's here?
Yeah.
And big loud cheer. They filled so much potential time that could have been filled by Cavs girls cue sticks.
And they do. And then they always show the Indian score on the Jumbotron.
Right.
And they have the Steelers logo up there to boo. And they'll plant people in the audience in Steelers jerseys and stuff.
Or a guy with four shirts on. He has to dance and then throw a shirt and then dance. And
I don't know.
Pretend he's not hired.
That's not my favorite. That's not my favorite gimmick. No, it was funny the first time.
I don't like it.
And then ever since I'm just kind of but even the booing the logo thing, I don't know. There's got to be some people from Youngstown here who are Steelers fans that drove up. They're not going to boo.
Yeah, there's a lot of people just here that are Steelers fans, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other,
I try not to be cynical about those sorts of things.
Oh,
I try
no,
to just let
okay.
fans Cynic- enjoy those things.
Cynic-
but
cynicism is okay. Cleveland cynicism is, even as the finals, relieved it, it still exists.
I guess we're born into it.
Yeah. Any last parting shots about this game? Are you just ready to let... I'm very ready to just, forget that this game happened. I'm not going to... a lot of times right now, I would, rewatch parts of it. I don't know if there's, a need for that.
We can just talk about Tottenham's 7-1 win.
Everyone
is really dying to hear about that.
So, okay, funny fact. I've got, tweets about, I have, listeners that are Tottenham fans. The bar...
the old angle?
Yeah, I had two listeners
Heaven
recommend
on
that.
Earth.
Yeah, I need to go there. I really need to get there. Let's just do Tottenham Minute. Greatest football team ever or second greatest football team ever?
Well, tell me who would be first.
So they're the greatest football team ever. Yeah. Harry Kane and Dele Alli can share Ballon d'Ors for the next 10 years, and I'll be happy.
Yes. And Toby Alderweireld, may he and his name play at White Hart Lane, well, Wembley next year, and then White Hart Lane again after that, forever and ever and ever. He is the most... Let me tell you a story. A quick aside in the Tottenham minute. I was watching Spurs highlights. Tottenham. Spurs.
And yeah, we're not saying the. This is, we're talking about British stuff now. So on. Just like get your, understand the pronouns.
Articles are out of here. I'm watching these, and Toby Alderweireld puts a header in, and my girlfriend goes, "Who's that?" I'm like, that's Toby. I have his jersey. You see him every week. She's like, "I just didn't know." I was like, "Yeah, he's a beautiful man." It's one of those where I'm just like, "Yeah, I concede that one."
Yeah,
he's a beautiful man, and I want him. That was a tough way to start that sentence. I want him with Tottenham forever and ever.
Yeah. Kane's the jersey I ended up getting. I was between him and Eriksen for me.
I have the Eriksen from last year.
I have the light blue with the navy trim Kane jersey, the away jersey for the away kit from last year.
Well, I have that's what I have for Eriksen. Yeah. So we could have some good link up play.
Yeah, we definitely have that there. They're incredibly fun. And as a bonus, Arsenal's in the Europa League.
I love it.
Which was great because I don't know if you saw the Europa League tweet that trolled Arsenal immediately.
Welcome.
I was so in on that. Like, Wenger is not in the top four. Like, they didn't make the top four. And, like, it's for kind of dumb reasons because they're Arsenal. And, like, I'm very just happy that Tottenham, like, beat them. And, like, yeah, like, Chelsea, I mean, Chelsea deserves to win the Premier League. I'm very excited to see what Spurs do because they're already being, like, linked to, like, Mahrez from Leicester, which I don't feel like that'll happen. And they might lose Kyle Walker, but like
I'm okay with that.
Tottenham's so fun. Like if you're,
they are. That's the thing is they're not. Premier League football is so fun, and there's this stigma, especially again. I work at a sports talk radio station
In Cleveland, Ohio.
You want to talk about people who are just unwilling to just unlatch themselves from stigmas and just like. I don't know, old thought and old sports takey takes.
Yeah.
That was eloquent. I urge people to give it a try because it's like you can just start anew and you can just latch on to a team. I would urge people to latch on to our team because there's so much there and they're so young and it's so fun going forward. But
Harry Kane is amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing. Dele Alli just turned 21 and he's top.
He was in a
20 players in the world.
He was on a third tier English team 2 years ago with MK Dons.
And they just found him and all of a sudden he's a star.
Yeah. So get on the train before like Barcelona pays like 100 million.
Exactly.
For him.
It's fun. Just do it. Don't be antiquated.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if you get the soccer bug, just go drink beer at Crew Games.
Right, that's the thing.
And AFC Cleveland, too. They play in Independence, which is near the Cavs practice facility, if I'm not mistaken.
Ryder Bell, I used to cover him at university, plays for them. I think he's at William & Mary as well.
Yeah.
He's a talented kid.
Soccer's great. Soccer's more like basketball than people, I think, realize.
Man, I tell people that all the time.
Because I think, like, the movement of the game.
Exactly.
Like, you know, basketball the dunks are more dynamic than, like, why we get in soccer. But, like, when you get a Harry Kane goal, it's just, like, the supreme feat of athleticism in a way that, it's the same. It's, like, the equivalent of a dunk. And it's just the style of the game. I think they're so similar. And that like being a basketball fan, when I was like, okay, I don't really want to watch the NFL very much anymore. Baseball is like really hard to watch on TV. It's like I want to listen to radio. I need something I can watch, and I wanted something on Saturdays, Premier League, and then
everything you just said. The thing about it's again, you go back to the movement. Basketball is just condensed soccer with your hands.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the scoring is different because it's multiple, and you get 32 out of 70 and 42 out of 91 field goals, where in soccer you're lucky sometimes to even get a goal.
Right.
But the way guys have to move to get open, it's the same thing every time as they're turning the lights out on us here at the
queue. Yeah, Brian Windhorst was like down below here like on his phone or something like that for like 30 minutes and then like he left and they're turning off the lights and that's a sign that.
They heard us talking about soccer and they're like, we got to get these guys out of here.
Yeah, got to get these guys out of here. But, I mean, that tells you, I think, everything right there. We started talking about Cavs Celtics and ended up talking about English Premier League football.
That's my life.
Yeah, but that's okay. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Locked On Cavs podcast. David Zabak from Fear the Sword is the guest.
Love love that guy.
Yeah, great guy. Nice enough to turn over the keys to Fear the Sword to me, and hopefully I don't F it up too much. It's been a pleasure, man. Just give everyone if they don't already follow you on Twitter, tell them where they can find you.
Follow me on Twitter, please, at Lex Hooper. The at is the A. It's not like a play on Lex Luger. I get that all the time. I don't even know what comic that's from. I don't even like comics
Superman,
like that.
Superman.
Is that something?
Yeah. All
right, see?
I mean, Jesse Eisenberg played him in a bad movie.
I probably just turned everyone off by saying
that's okay.
But yeah, follow me there. I'm trying to get this verification, so maybe your follow will push me there, and then, things will take... Help my career. That's all I'm... This is self-indulgent completely.
Yeah, that's okay. Give him a follow. I'll be back tomorrow. And at the end of this pod, you'll hear part of the LeBron James, Tristan Thompson presser. I'll give you guys a little insight in them so you can just hear them directly. Hear Moody LeBron, hear some Tristan answers that are fun. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.
Guys, John Teller, Chair Fox 8. LeBron, you guys were up 21 points. What happened? What factors led to Boston coming back at you?
Momentum. Continue to press the tempo. Marcus Smart started to hit a lot of threes. They started to get momentum, and that's what happened. You give a little team, you give a team a life, and they played so freely without IT, and they just made play after play after play in a good weather storm.
LeBron, you had a tough second half with just 3 points. What were some of the factors that led to that? Were you as aggressive as you wanted to be?
I had a tough game, period. Not just in the second half. Me personally, I didn't have it. You know, my teammates did a great job keeping us in the game and building that lead, but me personally, I didn't have it. That's all I got to say about my performance.
Joe Barton, Cleveland.com. Was there a sense of surprise or shock or what have you in a locker room afterwards? Just given how well the first two games had gone and that Isaiah was out?
No, it's never that. We've been playing so well. But like I said, you let a team grab momentum like that, you almost knew that last shot was going to go in. It's like you already knew. As soon as the ball went out of his hand, you kind of knew that shot was going to go in because how the game was just played throughout the second half.
Did you see, if I can follow up LeBron, did they mix up the coverage on you from what you had seen in the first two games?
No, they didn't mix up the coverage. They did a good job of springing back low to the ball, doubled me a little bit more in the post. But like I said, it's that my performance personally was all on me.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Tristan, for you, what's most disappointing, given the way that you guys played in the first two games and throughout the playoffs, what's most disappointing about this one tonight?
I think just the first thing, I give Boston a lot of credit. They moved the ball exceptionally well tonight, especially with IT out. Whenever you haven't played home in half a month, you want to come out and pull a full 48 for your fans and for yourself personally. So I give them credit. They played well. We got it better.
David ESPN, Tristan. When LeBron has a night that's atypical, we're not used to seeing that. How do you guys respond as teammates, as a group, as the game going on?
They feel different looks at him, but we gotta, we gotta be better as teammates. We gotta, pick it up and play better. But it wasn't about, the scoring. We scored enough points to win the ball game. It was defensively, so it doesn't matter, LeBron's numbers were tonight defensively. We gotta be better. Starts with multiple efforts, taking the challenge one on one, and making those adjustments and just playing harder.
Kenny Ritter, WHBC. LeBron, kind of on that defensively. What went wrong in that end of the third quarter through the end of the fourth quarter defensively?
I mean, a lot of things went wrong. Can't play the game right back in my head right now. Forward to seeing the film tomorrow when we get together. But when they let move the ball, like Double T said, 28 assists, and they kept us at bay. We couldn't get stopped, so we couldn't get out in transition a lot. And those guys they made plays. They made a lot of plays. They got some second chance points. They only had two fast break points, so they neutralized what we wanted to do.
For for you. You said, you know, it was just your game. Couldn't get into a rhythm tonight. Is that what it was based on their defense or just not feeling it or what?
No, I was pretty poor. What was that? Yeah. Seemed like you only answered. You never ask questions when we lose. It's a weird thing that you came. Always come around when we lose, I swear. Yeah. Okay.
LeBron, what do you take from this game going forward into Tuesday night?
Well, we're going to crack down on the film tomorrow for sure. Yeah, we got to be a lot better. I mean, it's the postseason. I mean, you win some, you know, you lose a couple maybe, but you want to – I can be better from game to game. Like I said, they were better today than we were, and we have to figure out a way to be better than them in game four. But you know, we look forward to the challenge. You know, I think it's great. What happened, I mean, it hurts. It's a loss in the postseason, but, you know, I'm glad it kind of happened the way it did. Let our foot off the gas a little bit. Didn't keep the pressure on them like I've been accustomed to it. But, you know, we have to play a lot better. We have to play a lot better in game four.
Jared White, CLNS Media. LeBron, the Celtics scored 7 points on ATOs in the final minute. What makes this team harder than almost any team in the league just trying to stop them out of bounds?
Well, I said that before the series even started about Brad Stevens and ATOs. You go back and look at my transcript, I said he's very good. Out of ATLs, he has so many different wrinkles, you know, misdirection, you know, you're thinking the ball going this way, he has a misdirection going the other way. So, you know, it's just, you got to kind of keep your head on the swivel. He has a lot of packages, so you can plan for a few, but then you might run something you haven't seen before. But, you know, if we communicate a little bit better, you know, out of timeouts, it puts us in a position to be more successful, like I said.
The journal coach Lou was pretty kind of pinned it on the fourth quarter turnovers. Was that more of your lack of concentration or their hustle? A little bit of both, a little bit of carelessness. I had one, you know, when KF ducked in, I should have faked high, bounced low, but I just threw it and I let Smee know I didn't have it tonight, you know, and Jay Crowder got his hands on it. We had a couple more turnovers, but we just either overpassing or overthinking or whatever the case may be. So, you know, that definitely resulted in us not being as fluent as we've been offensively.
Jason Ledecky, what do you mean? You said you're – oh, yeah.
We got to be able to not get it, but
what did you mean a minute ago when you said you're kind of glad it happened the way that it did?
Well, I feel some adversity is all part of postseason. I feel like you have to have some type of, you know, adversity in order to be successful. And so I'm glad it, I mean, if it was going to happen, let it happen now. Let us regroup. You know, let us regroup and all the narrative and everything that was going on. Let's regroup and let's get back to playing desperate basketball, which they did tonight. You know, and you know, so we gotta be a lot better, for sure.
Thanks, everybody.